Okay, so welcome back. We just finished looking through the Torah, the instructions to see what the Feast of Tabernacles was about. When is the Feast of Tabernacles? Why? Who had to dwell in the booths and so on, and why that was important. And now we're going to consider, and we considered also how we are to keep the Feast of Tabernacles today. In light of that, before I forget, there was something I wanted to say too. Traditionally, when you look at some of the people who build the booths today, you notice that, yes, they'll use palm leaves and certain things, but the booths, you couldn't dwell in them. The booths they build today, the sukkahs that a lot of people build traditionally, it's a box frame covered with leaves. And if a person had to dwell in that for 7 days, they would have had a difficult time. And so it's traditional, but it's not representative of what the scriptures were saying. Elohim said to the children of Israel that they may remember that they are to do this so that their future generations may always remember that he made them dwell in booths. During their journeyings, that's how they lived. They had to be ready to move forward and be ready to camp. They had to design their booths in such a way that they could easily assemble and take them down and bring them up quickly. So it had to be something very creative about how am I going to build my booth so that I can move forward with it, take it down, move forward, and build it up again and live in Numbers chapter 9. It says sometimes they would stay there for a long period of time, sometimes just a day or a night. But sometimes they would camp for a long period of time. So the booths they were dwelling in had to be booths that they could literally live in, sleep in comfortably. Sometimes the desert nights get cold. They had to be able to do it in such a way that they could be comfortable. Now, the celebration of Feast of Booths, they were to build the same kind of booths because they were to actually to live in those things. So that's why when I tell my brethren who try to build the booths, you know, I mean, it's fine, but that's not what Elohim had in mind. They're trying to build the booths according to those who follow tradition. The scriptures meant build yourself a tent. That's what it's all about. It's building yourself a tent, something in which you could live comfortably for those 7 days. Because you are to rejoice. It's hard to rejoice if you're cold at night. It's hard to rejoice if dust is coming through your dwelling place. So it had to be something they were comfortable in. So just to say that. So if ever any of you want to build a booth, you know, make something you're going to be comfortable in. Don't build those traditional things and then you're miserable. So that's the past. And today we're to help people understand that in the past, Elohim led the children of Israel in an organized way. And that was then in the time of the first covenant. In the new covenant, we are to do the same. But we are also to remember forward also, forward looking. What do we have to look forward to in the new covenant? Well, let's look at Enoch chapter 93 and see among the oldest prophecies written about that. In some of the books of Enoch, it might say 91, depending who the translator was. In my book, it's 93, but I've put that translation on the screen. It's showing as 91. It depends. But the one written by R.H. Charles would have it as chapter 93, and that's the one I'm reading from. But it's the same as this one, the one that's on my screen. But try to follow along if you don't have the book of Enoch in front of you. So it says in verse 1 and 2, "And after that, Enoch both gave and began to recount from the books. And Enoch said..." And before I say, let me say a little thing, because I'll forget. Notice what he says. Remember, Enoch was taken up for a while to be with the angels, to record certain things, to record instructions about certain things, and then to for the sake of the people. Then, after 364 years, he was taken up to live till this day, recording every act of the children of men on earth. That's what Enoch is doing now, till this day. He's recording everything. And just another thing, too, some people would literally think that was just the heavenly tablets, that there are pieces of rock in heaven, that tablets of stone. No, that's just the colloquial or the language of the day, the expression. So they're tablets, but just as there are heavenly bodies, there are earthly bodies. So there are earthly tablets of stone, like written on the Ten Commandments, then there are heavenly tablets. These things are, for lack of better words, cosmic celestial thing. He's using something celestial. It's not a piece of stone that he's writing on, okay? We have just to keep that in mind. It's something highly advanced that he's using to record the deeds, every deed of every soul from generation to generation until the day of judgment. So having said that, so Enoch wrote certain books, not the ones that he's recording in the heavens till this day, but certain books, and then he did what? He gave the books, and then he read from the books. Verse 1 and 2, and Enoch both gave and began to recount the books. Remember what I talked about during the Sabbath, how it is how the apostles, when they were making decisions and communicating those decisions, what did they do? They wrote letters, then they sent faithful men to do what? To give those congregations copies of the letter. And what else did they do? They included men who would also read in their hearing the accounts in the letters. So you see the continuation of the mind of Elohim being expressed, how he wants us to do things. You give them the text and you read it to them. And you see Ezra, as much as possible, did the same thing. He read in their hearing, and I'm sure if he could have given them copies of the text, he would have. So, and after that, Enoch gave and began to recount from the books. And Enoch said, concerning the children of righteousness, and concerning the elect of the world, and concerning the plant of uprightness, I will speak these things, yea, I, Enoch, will declare them unto you. So, the plant of righteousness, we know Abraham was taken for a seed, in which through him, the plant of righteousness would come to this earth, would be on this earth through him. And we'll read a little bit more. So let's go. So consider the plant, and that plant of righteousness is Messiah. I will speak these things. Yea, I, Enoch, will declare them unto you, my sons, according to that which appeared to me in the heavenly vision, and which I have known through the word of the holy angels, and have learnt from the heavenly tablets. And Enoch began to recount from the books and said, I was born in the seventh in the first week, while judgment and righteousness still endured. Keep that in mind so we could understand what these weeks are. I was born the seventh in the first week, while judgment and righteousness still endured. And after me, there shall arise in the second week great wickedness and deceit shall have sprung up. And it there shall be the first end. And in it a man shall be safe. And after it is ended, unrighteousness shall grow up and a law shall be made for the sinners. And after that, in the third week, at his close, a man shall be elected as the plant of righteousness, of righteous judgment. And his posterity shall become the plant of righteousness forevermore. And after that, in the fourth week at its close, visions of the holy and righteous shall be seen, and a law for all generations, and an enclosure shall be made for them. And after that, and I'm in verse 7, after that, in the fifth week, at its close, the house of glory and dominion shall be built forever. And after that, in the sixth week, all who live in it shall be blinded. And the hearts of all of them shall, without Elohim likeness, forsake wisdom. And in it a man shall ascend. And at its close, the house of dominion shall be burnt with fire. And the whole race of the chosen root shall be dispersed. And after that, in the seventh week, shall an apostate generation arise. And many shall be its deeds, and all its deeds shall be apostate. And at its close shall be elected the elect, righteous, of the eternal plant of righteousness, to receive sevenfold instruction concerning all his creation. For who is there of all the children of men that is able to hear the voice of the Holy One without being troubled? And who can think his thoughts? And who is there that can behold all the works of heaven? And how should there be one who could behold the heaven, and who is there that could understand the things of heaven and see a soul or a spirit and could tell thereof or ascend and see all the ends and think of them or do like them? And who is there of all men that could know what is the breadth and the length of the earth? And to whom has been shown the measure of all them? Or is there anyone who could discern the length of the heaven? And how great is its height? And upon what it is founded? And how great is the number of the stars where all the luminaries rest? Let's stop here for a second and go back quick. So, in week one, Enoch is born. He's the seventh, as found in verse 3. We're just reviewing the weeks. So he says he was born in week one and he was the seventh. So we know a week is divided into sevens. There are weeks of days, there are weeks of years, there are weeks of several years, like the Shemitah years, which is a week of 7 years. Then there are the Jubilee years, which are weeks of 50 years, right? Seven sevens plus one more. So Enoch, in this particular week, was in the seventh part, the end part of the week. In other words, that's when he was born, and righteousness was still on the earth. Then in week two, it says, week two, there was great wickedness, and in it, a man shall be saved. And that's Noah. Noah was that man and his family, of course, that was saved because of wickedness. And there shall be a flood in the second week and a law for the sinners. What is that law? Remember, when Noah came out of the ark, a law was given. That was the first time. You know, prior to that, it was still the rules given to Adam from the garden that they were still following. No one was allowed to execute judgment on anybody. If you know, as Cain killed, nobody killed him. And Elohim did not permit anyone to kill him. They were vegetarians. They did not eat animal matter at all. But after the flood, after Noah, that righteous man, was saved, a law was given that says if a man kills by a man, he shall be killed. And the law was given that they can eat animal flesh. So a law was given for what? For the sinners. Because the Elohim knew people would transgress. So in the third week, the plant righteousness, that's Abraham. Abraham was that plant of righteousness spoken of in verse 5. And that happened in the third week. So the weeks, as we can see, are approximate periods of 1,000 years each. 1,000 years each. Keep that in mind. So week 3 is about 3,000 years later. Comes Abraham. And in week 4, we have Moses and the first covenant law, because there's a second law. What does it say? And after that, in the fourth week, at its close, towards the end of the fourth week, visions of the holy and righteousness shall be seen, and a law for all generations, and an enclosure shall be made. The Mishkan, the tabernacle that we were reading about in Numbers chapter 23, and I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 23, and Numbers chapter 9, that was moving about with the cloud of glory. So the law is given an enclosure. The enclosure is especially the Ark of the Covenant, of course. That's in that tent of meeting. So the covenant law, and a law was given. The Ten Commandments. That's really what it's talking about. The Ten Commandments. Because it's to last for all generations. That never ceases to be. The Ten Commandments will never cease to be. For all generations. At least earthly generations. And next we saw in the fifth week, so that's the fifth, within the 5,000 year, if I'm understanding this correctly, and maybe they're not all thousands of years, I don't know. But definitely the period of time with Enoch, that was within 1,000 years in the first week. So in the fifth week, the Temple of Solomon and kingship, according to verse 7. And at its close, at the close of the fifth week, the house of glory and dominion shall be built forever, right? That's what it says. And in week 6, Israel blindly forsakes wisdom. The temple destroyed and Israel sent into captivity, right? It says the hearts of all of them shall Elohim likeness forsake, and they shall forsake wisdom. And in it, a man shall ascend, shall arise. And from what I understand here, this only one man, that's Messiah, that he shall ascend. And remember, these are visions, they're prophetic and they're very ancient, so they're not that clear, but it's telling you the major things to happen over the periods of the years. And so a man shall ascend, and what's going to happen? The house shall be burnt with fire, and the whole race of the chosen root shall be dispersed. I believe this is not... this is the dispersion after Messiah. That's the one it's talking about here. Because the man shall ascend, the house shall be burnt, and a chosen race. So there are big jumps here. It doesn't include... so it's covering some of the major things. It doesn't cover every detail in the history of the people of Elohim, but some major milestones in the project of Elohim for saving mankind to make his family. These are the major milestones. So in week 9, righteous judgment shall be revealed to the whole world. All the works of those that forsake Elohim shall vanish from all the earth. The world will be written down for destruction. Did I skip something? Oh, yes, I certainly did. Forgive me, I skipped a few here. In the seventh week shall an apostate generation, and many shall be its deeds, and its deeds shall be many. An apostate generation will rise doing many apostate deeds, in verse 9. At the close of the seventh week, the elect one will receive sevenfold instruction concerning all his creation. Verses 11 to 14, as we've read, describes that instruction. So it says in verse 10, and at his close shall be elected the elect righteous of the eternal plant of righteousness. The elected, the chosen elect. So you could say of the righteous, of Abraham, of the eternal plant of righteousness, to receive sevenfold instruction concerning all his creation. The language here could be a little confusing, and I'm praying that this is correct, and I stand to be corrected on this. I gladly, if I don't understand this correctly, and this I'll leave open. I'll speak in the sense that I'm sharing this as in my understanding in this part, because I'm not that sure. That his creation here, he is speaking about the elect one. There's two possibilities I could take. It could be that the people of Elohim will be taught more sevenfold instruction about the creation of their creator. Or it could be the elect righteous one, which is the son of Elohim, will receive greater sevenfold more instructions about his own creation. So I'm not sure what, if it's talking about specifically about Messiah here or the people of Messiah. But the language in verse 10 makes me lean towards that it's speaking about Messiah, because it says the elect, the elected, the elect righteous of the eternal plan. So in time we flesh this out, and I'll gladly listen to your views on this. But then it talks about the various things that this sevenfold knowledge that these elect will know. Is hearing the voice. Whoever it is, it seems someone who could hear the voice of the Holy One without being troubled. And who could know all these things about the heavens? Who could see a spirit and a soul? Who could see it? The regular person can't. And so on. Who could number the stars? It makes me think about when Messiah said two things concerning Messiah. Messiah said to his disciples when he was on earth before he died that there are certain things only the Father knows, that he doesn't know. For instance, when will he come back? When will he be sent back to the earth to judge? At that time, while he was on earth, he didn't know. He says, only the Father knows these things. These things are in his hands. So it's to show you the Messiah, while he was on earth, there are certain things that the Spirit in him did not reveal to him in the flesh to share. And also in the book of Revelation, where it speaks of him receiving the scroll with the seven seals, the similar questions. Who can open the scroll? Who can receive this authority to do the will of the Father? Because the Father gave the Lamb the scroll. And it was the Lamb who had the ability to handle, to administer the judgments of the Father. So I'm thinking maybe this is what's going on here, reflected here, that in the, because it's talking about the seventh week. So I'm thinking that this is about the 7,000 year, right? And it says at its close, that's towards the end of the 7,000 years. So it's either Messiah will be teaching the people this, or Messiah will be learning more things, receiving more things to share with the people. So let's move on from here. It says here, and after that, there shall be the eighth week. So in the eighth week, it says, there shall be another, the eighth week, that of righteousness. And a sword shall be given to it, that a righteous judgment may be executed on the oppressors, and sinners shall be delivered into the hands of the righteous. So here, Elohim's judgment will be that at this point in time, that righteousness will rule. Righteousness will rule. Evil will be conquered at this point in time during the eighth week. So this is way into the future. And you'll see why. Why it's way. Because the seventh week that we read about, I believe, is the millennial period. Okay? It's the millennial period. And we know after the millennium, we're told in the book of Revelations that during the millennium, Satan is bound. Every enemy is cast, you know, the enemies are defeated. And so the enemies are defeated and righteousness reigns. Okay, so where we hear about the millennial reign of Messiah is not to say Messiah is going to reign only for 1,000 years. Rather, that Messiah's reign will begin, and at the end of the thousand year, he shall release the adversary. But Messiah is still reigning. After 1,000 years of binding him, you will release him for a season. So righteousness here in the eighth week shall abound. Righteousness shall conquer the sinners. And sinners shall be delivered in the hands of the righteous. Verse 13. And at its close, that is at the end of the eighth week, they shall acquire houses through their righteousness, and a house shall be built for the great king in glory forevermore. And all mankind shall look to the paths of uprightness. All mankind. So this is why I'm saying this has to be way into the future, past our time, where now the millennial kingdom is being established. And when we read in Isaiah 4 and certain things, we'll do that during the days of the feast when we meet in the evening. You will see in Isaiah, it speaks about a tabernacle shall be built, a booth, a fire, and so on. And other parts and other scriptures describe that booth. And we will take a look at these things during the 7 days. But just for today, we'll talk about that a house will be made, not a house of bricks, a house of stone. Because the prophecies tell us a house of fire, and that it'll cover the entirety of Jerusalem, if not the entire land of Israel. But we'll read that further on in the future. So this house will be built, and all mankind shall look to the path of uprightness at the close of the eighth week. And after that, in the ninth week, righteous judgment shall be revealed to the whole world. So the whole world, righteous judgment, will be taught righteousness. They shall all know my ways, my name. They shall no longer kill or destroy on my holy mountain, as the prophecy says. And all the works of unrighteousness, of apostasy, shall vanish from all the earth. And the world shall be written down for destruction. So they will know, all mankind will know that the present earth that they're on is going to be destroyed. They're going to know this. Elohim will make the nations aware of that the world they're dwelling in will be destroyed. So that the ninth week. Now, after this, in the 10th week, in the 7th part of it, that's towards the end of the 10th week, 10 associated with judgment, right? Of the Day of Atonement is on the 10th day of the 7th month, the 10th day. So here on the 10th day, because in the 10,000 years about, in the 7th part of it, the last part, there shall be the great eternal judgment in which he will execute vengeance upon the angels. We know that the angels that have sinned, and we were told that they were bound. We read how some angels were bound, like Azazel, they were bound way deep in the earth, in deep places, in pits. Bound, they had changed their forms and they were not permitted to regain their angelic form. So they're bound so they could, they've been suffering for a long time down there. But then in that day, vengeance will be executed among these angels. We know there are elect angels that are with the Father and the Son, and we know there are these angels, Satan and so on, that have sinned. So, and the first heaven shall depart and pass away, and a new heaven shall appear. This is exactly the sequence of events we see in the book of Revelations, in towards chapter 20 and 21. What does it say in Revelations chapter? And I'm coming to a close here, brethren. So it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, in Revelations chapter 20, verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And we see this in verse 16 of this part of the book of Enoch. It says, and the first heaven shall depart and pass away, and a new heaven shall appear, and all the powers of heaven shall give sevenfold light. And so that's here in the book of Enoch. And Revelations tells us, and the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So it connects real well with the timeline of what we find in the prophecies in the Bible. So the first heaven shall depart, and it's the judgment, as said, right? And in the book of Revelation, we saw a great white throne, right? And the heaven departed, just as we know in the book of Revelations, and a new heaven shall appear, and all the powers of the heavens shall give sevenfold light. And after that, there will be many weeks without number forever. So there will be many periods of thousands of years, but without end. So why are we told there'll be many weeks and not just there'll be days without it? Because Elohim does different things within these time frames. So now there's no more sin. So there will be many weeks, many periods, epochs of about 1,000 years without end forever and ever. And all shall be in goodness and righteousness. And sin shall no more be mentioned forever and ever. So now we have Elohim has completed his plan, conquered all the enemies here, as shown in the book of Enoch. Sin is history, but now there will be weeks or epochs of 1,000 years forever and ever, all in goodness and righteousness. So that's what how Enoch shows us the future of the entire world in these weeks of 10 weeks. Okay, and the 10th week, the 10,000 years approximately, is the time of judgment. And after that is goodness forever and ever. And that's what Sukkot is all about. We observe the 10th day of the 7th month, the 10th day of the 7th month, right? And it was about the judgment, you know, doing away with sin and cleansing. And then after that, you have Sukkot, which is a time of rejoicing, looking backwards and forward and looking forward into the time when there will be no more sin, when there will be no Satan, no demons, no evil governments, no oppressors, nothing, no disease, no sickness, no death. Just glory, goodness, and righteousness, which was what Elohim planned from the very beginning. And that, in a nutshell, is what Sukkot, looking forward to Sukkot, is all about. And in the 7 days, we will be looking a little bit more closely at those. So I thank you for listening. Yeah, and so thank you, and I'll take any comments or questions you have. Thank you.